Guys, today's podcast is presented by Bud Light Lemonade Seltzer.
2020 gave everyone a lot of lemons. So Bud Light Seltzer made Bud Light Seltzer lemonade for us. Thank you.
It's light and refreshing, you guys, like a seltzer, but it's packed with lemonade flavor.
And you can get it delivered at BudLight.com/delivery. What are you waiting for? Get it now.
That's right. Get it delivered at BudLight.com/delivery.
It's the Latinos Out Loud podcast.
All right, you guys, it is that time of the show here on the Latinos Out Loud podcast where we interview someone amazing. This person is amazing and has got a lot of amazing information for us. So without further ado, please welcome creator of the Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app, as well as host of the Flat Earth podcast, David Weiss. Yeah.
Woo! What is going on, guys and gals? Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Good job on getting the name of the app right, Rachel, because that is, it's a mouthful and you don't want to get it wrong. You don't want to say another, you know, you want to get the sun, the moon, so you want to get all that right.
It's a long story behind the name, but it has a reason. So what's going on?
We want to hear all the reasons, and you're here for a major reason, by the way. We've been talking to your camp for several months now, trying to get you on this show. You're a busy person, okay? And we appreciate your time. And now, Frank, I've never seen Frank so red in the face. For a Dominican, he is like on fire. There is steam coming out of his ears. Where should we start? Like, you started to tell us a very interesting story off the mic a few minutes ago, how you left a very well-paying job to pursue this. Yeah. Can you tell everybody a little more about that and what this is?
So the understanding what the flat earth is, you need to understand what it isn't. We've all been programmed into believing it's something it's not. And the reason we'll get into the reason why I walked away from it all for it. But one thing that's very, for those of you that are not watching, Frank has a cartoon world behind him. He has a globe behind him and it's obviously a cartoon. Meanwhile, I have the flat earth behind me from 127,000 feet, where you can clearly see you can't see it right now, a small local sun. So,
He looks like he's in space. So, David,
anything I say that's crazy today, that's what I'm trying to describe, the helio nonsensical model that most people think we live on. And whenever I say something that, that makes sense, that's because I'm talking about the flat earth. First thing is, when you Google flat earth, you end up with images of a disc floating in space, a turnip floating in space. That's all disinformation. Nobody believes that, right? That's from the Flat Earth Society, which is a government-controlled website to give you disinformation. If you say, you know, what a flat earth in space or whatever, you get a pancake earth inside of a heliocentric solar system with all these other balls, or sometimes they'll show you all flat planets, right? No flat earther believes any of that. What the flat earth is, the flat earth is the basement of the universe. That's the best way I describe it. It's the basement of the universe. Think about this. A pond is a body of water that settles in the low spot in the land, and the edge of the pond is where the land is higher than the water surface, right?
Right.
Okay. Very simple. A lake is a bigger pond. Think of the world's oceans as a giant lake, right? The lake waters surround all the continents, but the land on the edge of the lake surrounds the lake and contains the water. Just like a bathtub holds the water in, a lake holds the water in. Antarctica is the shoreline that goes around our world. Yeah. It's the shoreline. It's the highest land on Earth. Antarctica is the highest land on Earth.
So, David, what's beyond that wall in Antarctica? Because I know there's a few there.
Yeah, so in 1959, I think, the Antarctic Treaty was put into effect just after they discovered what was out there. All the countries in the world signed on. Nobody can explore Antarctica. No corporation, not you, not me, nobody. until the year 2041. It can't even be questioned. Wow. Until the year 2041. Well, they'll kick it down the road another 60 years. Because if anybody went to the outer space is sideways, okay? Outer space, where there might be extra territory, extra land, extraterrestrials could be across the Earth plane, right? So it's amazing when you start thinking of it. But here's the thing. Anything beyond the shoreline of Antarctica or anything higher than you and I can get, which is basically an airplane, you know, is speculation. We don't know. You know, we don't know what those luminaries in the sky really are. You know, they're not planets like they tell us. They're different things. So there could be many different things. You know, Antarctica could just be bigger than all of the oceans and all of the plant, all of the continents together. It could just be a barren, you know, ice land. I mean, we know that there's land out there, but we don't know what's beyond there.
So, David, I know you're not into NASA and you don't believe in the space agency. So you believe in the firmament and you believe that we haven't left this Earth pretty much, right?
I believe that nobody has gone into outer space because outer space doesn't exist. Okay. So I believe that what we call outer space is actually water and that nobody has been above 73 miles. If you look at any NASA rocket that takes off or SpaceX, they go up, they go out over the Bermuda Triangle and they're out of sight. And you're watching a cartoon within under 30 seconds on television.
David, that's the Disney logo. That's the Disney logo, right?
With the tower pointing up through the firmament. Yep. Right? Trying to break through. Remember when Hillary Clinton didn't win the presidency and she made her speech? She goes, that high glass ceiling, we're making cracks. She's talking about breaking through the firmament. That's what these evil people are doing. They're basically trying to break through God's creation and destroy creation. Ooh. It's crazy. You know, there was a rocket that was launched in Arizona by some amateurs. And it went up. It went straight up. And what they did, two things. One, it went straight up. It didn't curve out. And it had an uninterrupted camera feed looking down and one looking sideways. It was spinning really fast. It went up. But when it got up to 73 miles, it made a kerplunk noise like it went into water. It sounded like it went into water. And it had microphones on it too. And then while it was floating there, it was floating really weird for like a minute. But when the camera turned sideways, all of a sudden it could see across the Earth plane and it could see the moon. Right? Okay, not so weird. It's up high. It could see the moon. Well, the moon was over Australia at that time. All right? So that would be like, look at, you know, you're on a ball. You'd have to look straight through the ball to see the moon from Arizona. Right? The only way you can see the moon from Arizona at that time is if the Earth was flat.
Okay, so are all my teachers...
So many questions.
All my teachers wrong that I've grown up with to go to geography classes.
Yeah, who becomes a teacher? Think about this. In school, you're not taught to think. You're taught to memorize and regurgitate, period. Yeah. If you come up with something that's not in that textbook, you're toast. You're going to the principal's office. You're getting a D, an F, and that's it. And the people that can memorize and regurgitate the best become who?
Valedictorian.
The new teachers, they become the professors.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that too.
Right. The ones that, and they teach it to the next generation. So teachers aren't lying. They're just teaching. I remember, this is one of my earliest memories. I think it was kindergarten. We went outside and the teacher was going to teach us about gravity. They were teaching us about space. Literally, like we're learning about space as tiny little kids. It's all programming. And he gets a bucket of water on a rope and he does the spinning around thing. And he says, that's gravity. And as a kindergartner, I said to him, I said, but wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't the bucket have to be facing the other side so the water's on the outside? And the teacher scratches his head. He looks at me and he rubs his beard and he goes, you're a smart kid. That's a good question. You keep asking questions, but that's the way I'm told to teach it. So that's how I'm teaching it. Right? Mm-hmm. Crazy. Crazy.
Okay. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
Hey, Rachel.
Go. Can I get a turn? Okay. David, why? Why does the government Yeah, why? Why doesn't the government, first of all, want us to go to Antarctica? Like, I want to know if they claimed a reason, you know, whether fake or not. What was the reason why that treaty, that the treaty was brought about?
What they're hiding? What they're hiding?
There are two reasons. One is they don't. The two reasons that they claimed was we must protect the penguins and the ice. Okay? Environmentalism in 1950s, before environmentalism was even a word. Feel free to cut down the Amazon, do whatever you want. That's fine. But we must protect this pristine ice and penguins. And the other one was Antarctica is at the bottom of the ball, so the Russians could sneak under and attack us, right? Mm. Right? Which is nonsense. I'm like, why don't they just come this way or that way? Nonsense, two ridiculous reasons, and it's off limits. Because if we went there, we would immediately know that we don't live on a ball. And then everything ends from there. What they did is they put a fence around us and a fence over us, making us think there's nothing. A ball is a prison for your mind.
Mm.
Okay? There is more beyond Antarctica, right? And we are at the center of creation. They want us to believe that we're spinning 1,000 miles an hour. The equator spins at 1,000 miles an hour, right? So that means when you're watching the sun, the reason it looks like it's going down at sunset is because you're on the top of a ball and you're falling over backwards faster than the speed of sound, right? You're also orbiting the sun at 66,600 miles per hour, okay? That's crazy. You're also chasing the sun like a comet at 500,000 miles per hour. Okay. And that entire system is moving sideways at 1.2 million miles an hour. But meanwhile, we have lakes that are perfect glass. Okay. Mm. With all of those motions going on.
Wow.
We have lakes that are mirrors. Okay.
Bob Ross. A shout out to Bob Ross because he used to make the perfect pictures of the lakes.
Bob Ross is the best.
Yeah. And the happy little trees. Don't forget
so many,
the trees.
So many memes of Bob Ross. Bob Ross, you know, flat earth memes are really good.
Yeah, I believe this too, because like my dad sits in his chair all day and doesn't move. Like, doesn't move. So
yeah, just be quiet for a second. I mean, if there was the tiniest earthquake, the tiniest rumble, you feel it. Your vestibular system freaks out. You're like, what the hell's going on, right? But meanwhile, we're whirling and twirling and swirling. They want us to believe. So this is the why. This is the big question. That we are a random speck, an accident of evolution, where lightning struck and created an amoeba that turned into a fish, that turned into a monkey, that turned into a human, right? Our ancestors are monkeys. No, our ancestors are humans. Monkeys' ancestors are monkeys. Chickens' ancestors are chickens, okay? So they want us to believe that we're hurling through space, that a comet could take us out, an asteroid could take us out at any second. We're running out of dinosaur juice for our cars, right? That the global warming is going to kill us, all of this stuff. So we literally feel powerless, useless, lost in space, spinning out of control. But the truth is, we are at the center of creation. We are in a special place. This world was created for us. We're having a spiritual journey here in these physical bodies where nobody has dominion over us, where we are at the center of creation, that our thoughts create our reality. They don't want us to know that. They don't want us to know that they have no power over us. If everyone in the world united tonight and said, all right, screw the elite, they'd be done. They'd be done. Go away, Mr. President. Go away, Mr. They would be nothing because we would all be united, but they divided us. They divided us by countries, by states, by genders, by races, you know, all the way down to religions, sports teams, you know. They've just divided, because together we're super powerful. You ever hear of the Maharaji effect where people pray together and then things happen? Like they pray for world peace and changes. Well, they've divided us. Now they're separating us, telling us to put masks on so we can't even read each other's faces. I mean, imagine, you know, all of this stuff. It's all to dehumanize us. It's all about control, because if everybody realized who they were, where they were, what they were, they would be powerless to stop us from doing anything. And the analogy I use, you guys know the documentary with Keanu Reeves called The Matrix.
Guys, thanks for coming to my Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade party.
Hey. Whoop, whoop. You really know how to throw a party, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Rachel. You know, I figured 2020 gave us so much lemons, right? So, you know, I'm going to do what Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade did and make lemons into lemonade.
Huh? I love it. You guys, can I just say something? I have tried all the seltzers out there and none of them pack a bold flavor like Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. And mi gente, it's available in a variety pack of cuatro delicious flavors. Original, black cherry, strawberry, and peach, which is my personal favorite. You know, gets me feeling all peach fuzzy inside.
And guys, I went from Bud Light beer to Bud Light seltzer, and Bud Light seltzer is so great for my waist. And it's gluten-free, guys.
Gluten-free and good for your waist. That's awesome for me because I got to get rid of this extra quarantine weight I got.
Oh, I hear you.
But yo, look, the coolest thing about this is that I could get this delivered by just going to budlight.com/delivery.
What?
Word? Yeah. Where do you go? What's the URL? Let me jot that down.
budlight.com/delivery. And you can get all the Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade your heart desires. So the question is, guys, should I make this party a weekly thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Please, Jamie.
Whereby Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade all day. Woo-woo.
That's my favorite film, man. You're talking to for the same
time. Documentary.
So Keanu, at the beginning of the movie, think about him. Neo, at the beginning, he's in his room. He's sleeping a lot. Something's wrong with the world, but he's trapped. His mind is trapped in the Matrix, okay? And he's feeding the Matrix, and he doesn't even know it. But then think of Neo at the end of the movie. He figured out who he is, where he is, what he is. He unplugged. He took back the power of his mind and became his true powerful self. That's exactly what Flat Earth does for people. It takes them, unplugs them from the Matrix. You stop giving away your God-given free will, and you take back your domain. You take back your dominion, you know, your dominion or whatever the word is.
Wow. David, yeah. I got, you know, we're from the same tribe, you know. I love conspiracies. I mean, you're hitting me all over the head right now. I don't even know what to ask you. But, I mean, I'm always chasing, like, who, like, what, you know, I don't know. There's so much stuff. It's like all over the place. Like, I mean, you're saying that they did it to take power away from us. But who thought of such a mastermind to use everything, religion, economics, technology, like who, like now AI is involved in this. Like who the fuck thought about all this to control humanity with these theories and all this stuff and how it, you know, correlates to our mind, like.
This world is a very strange place. And again, all of these people that run the world, they're Freemasons. They're from these royal families. There was a reset that happened in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they don't tell us about.
The mud flood, man. I heard about a mud flood.
Exactly. There was a massive reset that happened. And it wasn't until less than 100 years ago, everybody knew the earth was flat everywhere in America. Oh. In schools in the 1920s, they were teaching flat earth to kids. In Croatia, they were teaching it throughout Croatia in the 1930s. We found newspaper articles on microfilm of teachers being persecuted for trying to teach heliocentrism, threatened with jail. But all of that takeover happened in the 1920s and 1930s, and then came the World Wars. World War One happened in 1918 or whatever it was.
Right.
Before that, but all of that was the takeover. You know, when we went into Iraq, what was the first thing our soldiers did? They went into the museum, so supposedly to protect artifacts, but they were taking artifacts, stuff that showed our history.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So yeah. So, what are you? Oh, sorry.
Jamie, we're too excited here. It's your turn.
What do you think about the photographs taken of Earth? You know, all these photographs by the orbit, by the satellites, and the eyewitness testimonies. You're saying all astronauts are liars? Eyewitness testimonies from astronauts.
Not all astronauts are liars.
Buzz Aldrin, is he full of shit or what?
Buzz Aldrin's full of shit, yes. all astronauts.
Okay.
Oh, so the photos of planets, you know, they show us, anyone, go Google latest picture of Pluto. There's a desert that's shaped like the dog Pluto, right? That could just be my imagination, right? If you look at the planet, the planet, the photo of everyone's seen of Jupiter. Everyone's seen this photo. It was taken in 2014. It's in every textbook. It's in every magazine. Then in 2016, they said they got another one that showed the Northern Lights, which is this ridiculous picture with this clearly photoshopped swirly of fluorescent lights on the top. They said that way they know it has a magnetic pole. But if you overlay the two pictures, every single cloud is in the exact same position as it was 2 years earlier, right? None of that, that is impossible. I mean, because they've even showed us a video of Jupiter where the clouds spin in different directions at a really fast rate. So there's no way that they could be exactly the same. So you catch NASA lying once, that's enough. You can unwind it all the way to we didn't go to the moon. But you catch them lying time after time after time. I talked about Don Pettit. He was showing this thing where they got a coffee maker and he does this whole thing and he makes coffee and they pour it into like a little plastic cup and then he drinks the coffee. But when he lets it float in the air, the coffee gets out of sync with the cup because the coffee is CGI. Right?
Yeah.
Floating around and it gets out of sync with the cup.
But just this isn't the same question. This isn't the same question. It's a part B, Rachel. Sorry. Yeah. It's like, but
it's
also,
okay.
So why are we, but why are, okay, so all the scientists in the world, why are we not trusting any of them that have continued to say the Earth is not?
Many
flat.
Of them are fooled themselves. But here's the thing, everything that I'm going to show you, you can go out and test yourself. When I say we can see too far, you know, we can see too far. If the Earth was a globe, we shouldn't be able to see so far. Like we have a picture to an oil rig that's 9.4 miles away, and the camera's 1 foot off the ground. At one, according to globe math, not flat earther math, actual globe math, at that distance, there should be 59 feet of curvature. But not only can we see the bottom of the rig, we can see the surface of the water for tens of miles beyond the rig.
Right.
There should be a 59-foot bulge that water surface should be 59 feet below the curve. And we can see it. We can see too far. Now, NASA says the sun's 93 million miles away. Well, how are you going to verify that? They say that Venus is the same size as Earth. How are you going to verify that? I say Venus is the size of a basketball. Prove me wrong. Okay? You can't verify anything that NASA says. Mm. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever.
And so, David, I got a good question for you. This theory, this flat Earth theory, this is the most well-known theory, conspiracy theory that I would say that I've known of. And I, you know, you got the Kyrie Irvings and you have all these celebrities and you have people with money. You have all these different people that have money. Why hasn't someone grabbed a freaking ship, recorded it and say, you know what? We're going to debunk this. Yes or no?
Let's go. How are you going to do it? We're trying to figure it out. We actually have a TV show we're working with that wants to film us. And there we're talking about, we're trying to go to Antarctica.
Yeah.
And one of the things that would prove the globe is that if we went to the actual South Pole in December, we could film the 24-hour sun. Well, there is no 24-hour sun in Antarctica. There should be, but there isn't. And there's fake videos of it, but there's no real videos of it. Now there is a 24-hour sun in the inner Arctic, which makes perfect sense on a flat Earth. It also makes sense on a globe, but on a globe, you should have the same thing 6 months later in the Antarctic, but we don't. Seasons and sun patterns prove that the Earth is not a globe. I mean, you just have to look.
Gotcha.
And so what about the whole plate tectonics and the continental drift? Fake. You know, fake? How? Fake
as,
okay.
F.
Explain that, because then how did the continents form? Or what do the flat earthers say about that?
The continents are just land that's higher than the water surface. That's it. The Earth was, you know, was created. You know, if you want to get biblical about it, they said God, you know, like he did like a press down and made a mold, like a ring, you know, a seal and a wax thing, and then filled it with water. And there's water above us and water below us. Think about this. When does it rain? It rains when we have a low pressure system. So low pressure lets the water in. Like you guys been in a heavy rainstorm, torrential rains, like a hurricane or anything. The amount of water that comes down is billions of tons. You know, it's ridiculous. But we're supposed to believe before it came down, it was floating in the air. It was floating in a cloud. I've flown through a cloud, and it's not that crazy. You know, the clouds are made of moisture, absolutely. And you can get a cloud to condensate and precipitate. But when there's those heavy, like hurricanes, a hurricane is a super low pressure system. It allows the water to come back in, and then the wind just distributes it.
Wow. Okay, so another argument that somebody would argue with would be during a lunar eclipse, the Earth passes between the sun and the moon.
Yeah.
And then that allows the Earth, it casts a shadow on the moon. That shadow's always a circle, no?
Yeah, see, this is pre-programmed response number 3B by Bill Lye, the lying guy with the bow tie, that programmed that into you. And so... it's hard for me to show. I got to actually put a video together of it. But the moon, when you have a sphere that, like, you have the sun and the moon, and then the Earth is supposed to come in between and cast a shadow on it. Yeah. Right? That's what they tell us it is.
Yeah.
But there's been many eclipses where people that are viewing, they could see the moon and the sun both well above the horizon, and the eclipse starts before one of them goes below. Well, that's impossible because the Earth isn't in between yet. And to make it worse, they see the moon up there, the sun is up there on the other side, and the eclipse starts coming in from the top. Well, the eclipse should come in from the bottom as the Earth goes in between, but it doesn't. So the other problem is when you have a ball casting a shadow on another ball, it doesn't come in with this perfect smiley face or sad face, you know, curve. It comes in as a long ellipse. It spreads out and then it leaves as an ellipse because it's going onto a curved surface, right? If you were eclipsing a circle drawn on a wall with a ball, yeah, it would look just like that. So either the moon is flat, the Earth is flat, or it's not a shadow. We're just seeing a darkening of the moon by either another dark body in space, or the moon is its own light. So something is blocking the moon's light. Mm. And if you think about it, you go outside in the middle of nowhere on a full moon, you can drive without your lights on. You can walk, you can read, right? You can see the moon is super bright.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
So check. So if you look at the moons of the astrolyres on the moon, it's a dusty, dirty ball. Okay. If you understand what the inverse square law of light is, every time you double the distance to something, it's one quarter the brightness. All right. So, and it's the same in reverse. Every time you half the distance, it's four times as bright.
So you're looking
at a full moon, and I the full moon is probably like 20 lumens, which is about the, you know, which is a measure of brightness. But let's just give the moon every advantage. We'll say it's one lumen. You go halfway to the moon, 238,000 miles, it's four lumens. Cut that next distance in half, it's 16 lumens. Cut that in half, it's 64 lumens. It keeps quadrupling. By the time you get to 100 miles from the moon, it's like 10 million lumens.
Mm.
10 million, right? It's 10 million delta rye balls. Okay.
It's a lot of lumens.
Yeah, a lot of lumens. So again, it's insanity.
So the moon is a rock. So you're saying there's rock blockers up there. There's a lot of rock blockers.
I'm saying the moon is not a rock. I'm saying the moon and the sun are probably not even physical. The moon and the sun that we see are probably not even physical.
So what are we seeing? They're not physical. It's just light.
So we're seeing something being, I say it's being projected, for lack of a better word, through the firmament into our reality onto what I call the sky screen.
Okay.
And if you look during the day, the dark spots on the moon look blue, and at nighttime they look black, almost like it's translucent.
Holy shit.
Okay. But here's the thing: the moon. So here's a little experiment. Imagine we're all standing outside and we're standing 25 feet apart in a line, and we're facing a gigantic standing upright mirror. It's in front of us, it's just gigantic, and the sun is behind us. Okay, we're all looking at the sun in the mirror, and a fourth person walks up to the mirror with a Sharpie, and I say, I see the sun right there, and they draw an X on the mirror. They circle the sun. Then they walk over to you, Rachel. You're 25 feet to the right of me. Well, they're going to draw an X 25 feet different on that mirror. You're going to see the sun in a different place, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And Frank, you too, and Jamie, you too. Mm-hmm. So we're all seeing that in a different place. If we all tried to triangulate the position of that sun in the mirror, it's the more people we add to the triangulation, the worse it's going to get, because we're all seeing the sun in a different position.
Wow. Right?
So here's the thing. But what about, like, it can't just be reflection. I feel all that heat. So this is what happened to me. I've been telling this story a lot, but I'm going to tell it again because I haven't told it here. I was at a conference in Las Vegas, and I was at the swimming pool at the end of the day. It's like 3:30 in the afternoon, and the sun is going down. But I could feel the sun on the right side of my face, and it's blazing hot, blazing. And I'm like, wow, I'm just going to have a burn on the right side of my face if I stay like this. Well, the hotel was off to my left, and it was a mirrored hotel. It was about 100 yards away, and the sun lined up with one of the mirrored windows perfectly, and it looked exactly like the sun. Of course, it's a mirror, but that's fine. But it was reflecting on the left side of my face. So I closed my eyes, and I said, if I didn't know which side the sun was on, could I tell from the brightness and from the heat? And it was the same.
No way.
I could not tell. And this is an experiment you can go out and do yourself. Go out.
I feel like I've been there before. I've been there. Yeah. I've been there. And these guys know I'm obsessed with tanning. I have tanned. Tanned off of reflections of glass, tin, you name it. If it's a metal and it reflects or mirror, I'm tanning off of it. So I am going to agree with you on just this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, NASA. You guys all know everything about NASA's fake. Nothing.
In the water. You're showing us a picture of them on the water.
Yeah. They do all of their training in the National Buoyancy Lab with scuba divers. They have green screens in there, and they show us these ridiculous pictures where sometimes we see bubbles while they're doing their stuff, because they don't get it all perfect, because there's swimmers, there's all sorts of stuff going on in there.
Wow.
Are you guys familiar with the Georgia Guidestones?
Of course, I did a fake news on that.
All right,
yeah.
What do you mean a fake news?
That's his segment, but what people consider fake news initially. But
so in the Georgia Guidestones, there's for those of you that don't know what it is, it's like a Stonehenge monument that was built in the 1980s on the top of this hill in Georgia, and it has literally the 10 commandments of the New World Order on it in like 15 different languages. Okay. Whatever the number is. And it has some astronomical things. It has a hole going through the center pillar, a long, thin hole that when you look through it, no matter what day or anything, night, you can't see during the day, but it always has the North Star in it. And remember, we're whirling, twirling, swirling, and moving in four different directions at ridiculous speeds. But when you look through this hole, Polaris is always right there.
Wow.
And all of the other stars circle around it if you do a time lapse.
Wow.
Okay. And so if we were just spinning, that hole would not line up. But we're spinning, we're twirling, we're whirling. Since the time we started, we've gone millions of miles. Okay. Probably we're going 500,000 miles an hour is one of the directions we're going. We're going sideways. Right. And Polaris is supposedly moving too, but it lines up with this hole. It's been up for 5 decades and Polaris is still there. Some people say they believe that, the North Star was a different star once and it's going to be a different star again. Well, if that was the case, how come Polaris is still there 50 years later?
Interesting.
Yeah. It's right through there. And then it also has another slit that has two angled lines going into it. And if you look through one angle and through the hole, you see the summer solstice, and the other one shows you the winter solstice. The sun will go to the end and then it'll go back.
Wow.
Yo,
yeah.
David, did any ancient civilization get it right?
Yes.
Got it right. So
that's what I was going to ask you.
Here's the thing. I interviewed a woman named Ruth, 102 years old, in February of 2020. And she told me that in school she was taught that the earth was flat in the 1920s. Did I tell you this already? I'm sorry.
Not about Ruth. I want to hear about Ruth. She sounds so cute.
Yeah, no, she is. And you can see her videos on my YouTube channel, DITRH. But what I'm showing you now is the Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac clock app. And I'm going to just show you this real quick. The sun is the hour hand on the clock. It goes around once a day. So the sun, wherever it is, it's noon, and the sun will lap the moon once every 28 days, okay? Mm-hmm. So the sun keeps track of the hours and the days, while the moon and its phase and its position keeps track of the weeks and the months, right? It's a perfect clock, the sky.
Right.
So it goes around and around. And so it shows you, you know, the phases and everything, where it is, when it's rising, when it's setting. And if you turn on the stars are spinning, centered with Polaris over the north or over the North Pole. And it's spinning just slightly faster than the sun. So the zodiac, the sun will be in a zodiac, and then the next zodiac will catch up the next month, and the sun will be in that zodiac. So next month will be in Pisces, and the one after that, I believe that's Taurus.
Is this what Walter Megalo used to
yeah. Yes. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So what I tell people is, you know, if you're new to Flat Earth, get the app, and every day there's a new video that shows that's in the bottom left corner. And I say, take the Flat Earth App Challenge. Watch the video every day for 2 weeks. And after that 2 weeks, if you still think you live on a ball and can come up with one proof of the ball, send it to me and I'll give you a full Bitcoin. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Full love Bitcoin. It.
Oh,
but before you send it, you have to hit the little question mark and up come all of the questions you're going to ask. Why the lie? Or where's the edge? Well, how does season work? Right. If you hit how does seasons work, up comes a video playlist that's censored on YouTube, right? They'll give you all the videos that YouTube and the Google will hide from you. What about satellites and GPS? Hit that, bam, up come a whole bunch of videos and all stuff you can verify yourself and shows you how NASA is faking everything in space.
Wow.
Oh my God.
There's also other resources, bottom right corner, mud floods, Tartaria, all right?
Natari, I did a news on that also. Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
tons of stuff, and then I have playlists in different languages. But what one thing I want to show you guys, and I'll explain it for the listening audience. You have the equator, which is the red line that circles around halfway between the center and halfway between the edge of the World Lake. The inner yellow line is the Tropic of Cancer, and the outer yellow line is the Tropic of Capricorn. So in June, the sun is over the Tropic of Cancer, and it's closer to the inner north. So it's over our heads. It's higher in the sky. Think about an airplane flying directly over your head at 10,000 feet. That's your summer sun. And then think about an airplane that's like 30 miles to the south at the same height. So in December, the sun goes out over the Tropic of Capricorn, and it's out south. It's lower in the sky. But meanwhile, out south, the sun is high in their sky because that airplane's right over their head. And they look at our airplane and it's lower in their sky because that's their winter sun, right? I'm just using an airplane as an analogy. Yeah. So that's how seasons work. It's not the angle of the sun. It's where the sun is. Is it over you or is it out to the side?
Mm.
Got it?
Yes.
Wow.
Time zones are very easy. Wherever the sun is noon. You know, like right now it's 8:40 p.m. and it's noon on Eastern Australia. It's 4 a.m. in South Africa. So this will show you what time it is everywhere. The app does a ton of other stuff, like the compass it shows you that north is in the center, south is every direction away from the center, and east and west are circles around the center. Imagine, and the way you can do that is if you go look at if you put a magnet down on a table and pretend a round table and pretend that's the flat earth, and you move the magnet, you put a compass down, the compass is going to point towards that magnet. And if you move the compass to try to dead reckon east or west, you can't go in a straight line. You have to keep turning because 90 degrees east is a circle because you have to keep that north pointed towards the center. So you could leave New York, head east, go all the way around the world and come back to California and New York. And you thought you went in a straight line. You thought you went around a globe because of programming, but you just sailed around the lake.
It looks like a cool, you have a video in the background that listeners can't see, but it looks like a cool board game you're playing.
Yeah, right? You're showing us nice.
Game no, it's like, with so, like, Zodiac Ouija or something.
Yeah.
David, we're and I know you have to go too. We're wrapping up. What do you want to leave with the listeners? A lot of any round earthers, is that what you call them? Any rounder,
third,
any
globers,
globers, non-believers,
globies, globies, yo, globies.
What's the final thing you want to leave with them? That
final thing
right
is,
yeah.
The world is in a really screwed up place. The world, the entire world, is under tyrannical takeover right now. We're going to lose all of our rights and going to be living in darkness unless people wake the f up. Excuse my language.
It's all good.
And even if we get our freedom back miraculously. How long can we keep it if we don't know where we live, if our mind is still in the matrix, in a prison, right? The globe is a prison for your mind. It disconnects you from who you really are. And this is the most important deception that's going. That's why it's the biggest deception.
Wow.
That's why all the space agencies, all the governments, all the schooling, all the religions, they're all in on it. It's all to divide us and to keep us under control. So my message is, wake up and wake up your friends. There's really no time left.
Do you watch like the Golden Globes and are like, you know what? That award is all wrong. That should be a flat award.
Oh, well, you guys, literally, he is a ball buster. One time for host of the Flat Earth Podcast, David Weiss, you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
Thanks to Bud Light Lemonade Seltzer. Bold, bubbly, and packed with lemonade flavor.
And it's available in a variety pack of four delicious flavors. We're talking original, black cherry, strawberry, and don't look now, peach.
Wow, 5% ABV, alcohol by volume, with only 100 calories, less than 1 gram of sugar, and gluten-free, you guys? Come on, it's got it all.
Guys, get it delivered now at budlight.com/delivery.